Adventure 7, Exploring the Jifayanki Outpost. With the sleeping Jifayanki finished, the party quickly searched the fallen and prepared to move on. The room appeared to be something of a mess hall, as uneaten food was scattered about the room. Closing the doors, the party momentarily considered checking where the elevator led. Deciding to follow the shaft to its end, however, they passed the elevator by and went back to reclaim their prisoner. Everything worked perfectly except for one thing. The prisoner was gone. Nothing was left, not even the rope, much to Zoltan's displeasure. With the prisoner gone and presumably loose somewhere within the base, it was only a matter of time until some kind of alarm was sounded. The party was working with a limited amount of time. Moving back to the vertical shaft, the party jumped in and started heading down. The shaft fell for a ways, with no other openings or activity to be seen. Estimating the distance traveled, Milo figured the party had exited from the outer tower and was actually inside the piece of rock that made up the center of the base. Slowly the shaft began to brighten and it soon became apparent that the party was approaching another room. Slowly dipping their heads out, the party found themselves within a large room. A large room filled with armed Jifayanki fighting. Different groups were spaced about the room, all of them sparring with greatswords. Cautiously the party moved back into the shaft and began discussing what to do. The groups of Jifayanki were all spread out too much for Sid to affect them with any of his spells or for anyone else to use the few remaining sleep grenades effectively. The problem of dealing with a room full of armed Jifayanki warriors was taken from the party, however, when one of the Jifayanki noticed the party whispering among themselves. Slowly the Jifayanki among the room began to encircle the shaft. They had nearly managed to, when the group realized they had been seen. For a second the party breathed easy, since all the Jifayanki were holding greatswords, and after all, everyone was standing within a vertical shaft in the roof of the room. Then, all of the Jifayanki shifted their grip on their swords and began firing bolts of energy from them. Milo quickly activated the walkway in this room, providing an amount of cover from a few of the Jifayanki. Gunfire erupted from the party, as the Jifayanki likewise opened fire. Milo tossed out a sleep grenade catching two of the Jifayanki, while Sid's magic missiles eliminated another one. Zoltan and Orenda downed four more, while Alejandra took out another. Several Jifayanki bolts caught party members, inflicting grievous wounds, when they struck. Despite the power of their weapons though, the Jifayanki couldn't stand up to the combined assault of the party, and quickly fell. Exiting fully from the shaft, the party took note of their location. The shaft continued on, lining up with a large hole in the floor. Likely that way led to one of the other towers that stood up from the base's rock center. Four doors were within the chamber, one at each cardinal point. A quick argument over what door to go to later, the group prepared to enter into the western door. Opening the doorway and busting into the room, the group found themselves in a large, empty room. In fact, the only thing in the room was a large gilded throne on a base at the opposite end. Once everyone was done wondering what kind of secret military base possessed a throne, they noticed another door to the right of the one they had entered from. Moving over, the party did a quick check for traps before jumping in. The room was strangely shaped, divided by an odd curtain. A projection from the far wall seemed to be made of semi-frosted glass. Through it, the party could almost make out roughly man-sized cylinders. Even stranger, vague humanoid forms seemed to be inside some of them. A table sat in the center of the half of the room the party had entered into. Two large chests were visible in the half of the room obscured by the curtain. Moving forward to examine the chests, Milo barely managed to avoid the curtain as it suddenly came to life and struck out at him. Even worse, an imposing Jifayanki in armor had been hiding on the other side of the curtain. Milo and Zoltan opened fire while Orendel ran forward to help Milo out. The curtain shot out again, but this time Orendel wasn't fast enough. Orendel disappeared with a slight slurping noise, and suddenly there was another vague humanoid figure in one of the cylinders. The intensity of the fight between Milo, Zoltan, and Alejandra redoubled as Orendel disappeared. Alejandra took cover behind the table. Sid began chanting the words of Charm Person and forcing his way through the Jifayanki's spell resistance, felt the spell air itself onto his mind. "Stop shooting. We're all friends here," Sid shouted. Zoltan fired off one more shot before lowering his weapon. Slowly, the Jifayanki did as well. Very quickly the party learned several pieces of information. This base was an outpost for the Jifayanki army, a training facility for its legions of warriors and a research point to create new implements of destruction. The throne in the room was for the occasions when their queen would visit them. He was the commander of the base. The creatures trapped in the tubes were invaders that were ceremonially bestowed to the Jifayanki queen when she visited. There was no known way to open the tubes, the queen did that herself. And there was no known drawer board. Zoltan and Sid quickly concocted a story between the both of them. Everyone had come to the base looking to hunt down a traitorous drow, who they think had snuck into the base to steal their research or possibly even sabotage it. The commander seemed doubtful, but these were his friends after all. Slowly, the party coaxed the commander out of the room, leaving Alejandra behind to watch Orendel, who remained trapped within one of the cylinders. Looking to his left, Orendel noticed an illicit in the cylinder to his left, and a sea hag to his right. In fact, when he looked closer, he thought he could almost recognize the sea hag. Where had he seen her before? Alejandra began rifling through the chests, looking for something that could possibly let Orendel out. Zoltan, Cid, Milo, and the Jithyanki commander exited the throne room and entered the large circular room, Jithyanki corpses scattered about. How did this happen? Screamed the Jithyanki commander. Obviously the drow has penetrated deeper than we thought. Cid quickly replied. Running over, the commander opened the door opposite the throne room and began calling out orders. The assembling Jithyanki soldiers tossed strange looks at Cid, Milo, and Zoltan, but when any asked, the commander simply said they were friends. The soldiers began spreading out, searching the base for the drow who had come to steal or sabotage the research going on. So where do you think we should go? The commander asked. Where do you think we should go? Said Zoltan, hoping his Zoltan logic would trick the commander into revealing vital information. If he is here to steal, there is the treasury, mused the commander. The group's eyes took on a greedy sheen, as each person nearly fell over the other with agreement that the treasury was a good idea. Moving to the north door, the commander led the accompanying party members into a large room with several altars dedicated to the Jithyanki's queen. A Jithyanki knelt before one of the altars, as the group entered. The praying Jithyanki watched, as the commander led his new friends across the temple to a large steel door, almost like an ancient airlock, and proceeded to open it. Inside was a beautiful sight. The chamber inside has no source of artificial gravity, and the contents within spun about, as the base rotated. The hundreds of gems that made up the chamber floated and fell, as the entire room's gravitational direction changed again and again. The party could barely imagine how much money all of those gems represented. Milo, unable to resist, palmed one of the gems, while the commander was distracted. No drow in here. Where next? Asked the commander, sealing the treasure room shut. As the group started to debate on where to go to next, the praying Jithyanki stood and approached the commander. The strange Jithyanki began to talk in an odd language, unknown to any of the party members. This did not bode well for the party, and they quickly attempted to stop it. What is he saying, commander? Asked Cid. Why doesn't he use the common tongue? Queried Milo. Who is he? Wondered Zoltan. He is wondering who you three are. I'm simply explaining that you are my friends. The new Jithyanki stepped back and prepared to cast a spell. Zoltan was quicker, stepping into the Jithyanki and interrupting his spell. Guns were pulled, but before any shots could be fired, the Jithyanki vanished, presumably using the same trick the earlier one had used. What's going on here? Roared the commander. The replies tumbled over one another so fast, no one was sure who said what. He is obviously working with the drow, someone said. We were just trying to protect you, responded another. There are traitors in your ranks, said the third. Finally, after everyone calmed down a little, Cid asked. Who was he? One of the Jishon base. That didn't explain much to the party, but fearing any further questions, instead decided to continue scanning the base. Where does that last door lead? Asked Milo, meaning the southern door back within the center room. Crew quarters and the hangar. Since Cid had no spells left that could get the party down, the hangar was a definite point of interest among the party. Passing through the southern door, the commander waved two guards away and proceeded down a long hallway. Arriving at a somewhat larger door than the others, the commander knocked upon it. A Jithyanki stepped out, the medals on his uniform signifying a higher rank than the Jithyanki faced so far. The commander shared several words in Jithyanki, with several glances thrown at the party. There was no trouble this time, though, as the Jithyanki finally bowed and hustled off with whatever orders the commander had given him. He is to facilitate searching for this drow, explained the commander. Moving further down the hallway, the party entered into an enormous room where two ships sat docked. One of the mechanics working on the ships stepped over and had a few brief words with the commander. Who are they? Asked the mechanic, gesturing towards the party. Friends. Have you seen anyone suspicious today? Replied the commander. No one strange. Except your friends. Looking around, the group memorized the location of this hangar and started heading back to the center chamber. So where should we look for this drow now? Asked the commander. Obviously he was beginning to become tired of the search for the mystery drow. What parts of the base haven't we looked? Asked the group. All that is really left is the living quarters of the warlocks and the Jish. Let's look in on one of the warlocks. The Jish in that prayer room was a traitor, and one of the warlocks could be one too. All right. The closest warlock is right up this shaft, explained the commander, pointing up into the hole the group had entered from. Grimacing slightly, the party began trudging up the shaft they had entered from, heading back towards the room of the Jithyanki warlock they had tied up. Passing the two dead Jithyanki in the observation room with another explanation that it was obviously the drow's fault, the party entered into the Jithyanki bedchamber. There was the warlock, sitting on his bed. The warlock jumped to his feet, and time seemed to slow. Zoltan brought his gun to bear, snapping off a shot. The warlock locked eyes with the commander. The commander blinked, and Sid suddenly felt his spell crumble away. The commander pulled out his greatsword and swung at Milo, striking him in the back. Zoltan's shot punched into the warlock, wounding him. Sid cast a spell, striking the warlock with sonic vibrations. The warlock shouted something in the Jifayanki tongue before fading away, as others had done before. Zoltan turned and shot at the commander, but in the confusion hit Milo square in the back. The commander began to cast a spell, and Sid shouted out a warning, as he recognized the spell. A fireball exploded within the room, everything disappearing, as flames covered the room. When the fires faded, the commander faded away. Sid and Zoltan were too stunned to put up much resistance. Little remained of Milo's body except for a few charred remnants of his gear. Gathering up what little was left, Sid and Zoltan began racing down the vertical shaft. They had stayed over long within this blasted fortress. Jiguel's informants had been wrong. The drow wasn't here. Heading towards the commander's chamber, Sid and Zoltan for the first time began to worry about how they would escape. During all of this, Alejandra had been attempting to get Orendel out of the cylinder in which he had been trapped. She tried several things, including outright attacking the blast. Little worked, until she attempted to dispel the magic of the blast chamber. Suddenly, the glass glowed a bright red and an opening appeared within. Rushing inside, she began likewise trying to remove Orendel. She had tried little though, before she realized the opening had begun to close up behind her. Darting back out, Alejandra barely managed to avoid being trapped within the small chamber with Orendel. Before she could try again, the commander and the Jifayanki who had escaped earlier appeared. Quickly hiding behind the table, Alejandra listened in on the commander and the warlock. Suddenly the door to the room opened and Zoltan and Sid strode into the room. Zoltan opened fire on both the warlock and the commander, as Sid unleashed his magic. Even Alejandra emerged from hiding to add a few laser blasts to her side. The commander and the warlock, both already wounded, quickly fell to the combined assault. Sid searched the room quickly and found a few scrolls. Listening to Alejandra about what had happened, Sid began suppressing the enchantment on the glass. Zoltan explained to Alejandra what had happened in a blunt manner, as Sid burned open a hole in the outer glass. Milo is dead, was all Zoltan had to say. As the large opening appeared in the outer glass, Zoltan turned and fired a shot at the top of the cylinder holding Orendel. With a loud crack the cylinder burst open and Orendel tumbled out. Orendel scrambled up and managed to escape from the glass chamber before the opening could reseal itself. Quickly explaining what had happened, the remaining party prepared to rush towards the hangar, when Orendel noticed a small crack in the wall of the room. Examining the crack closer, Orendel realized it was a hidden door. Activating it, the party entered into a long hallway. Rushing down the hallway, the party took a right, as the hallway angled to the east. Running farther, they stopped suddenly, and backtracked to an alcove they had noticed. At the end of a small branch of hallway was an enormous mirror. Or at least, it appeared to be a mirror, except that it wasn't reflecting back any of the party members. Moving forward, the party slowly began examining the mirror, wondering at its use. When Zoltan's hands ran over the mirror's surface though, it shimmered and a Jifayanki face replaced everything. Yes? What do you need, Seaweight? Who are you and what are you doing on this channel? Earth just a false alarm. We're fine down here, Zoltan explained, following up with a blaster shot right to the mirror. If an alarm hadn't been triggered yet, and all signs pointed to the fact that one had, it surely was going off now. Rushing back down the hallway, the party again turned with the hallway, heading back in the direction they had originally come. Suddenly the hallway ended, and the party prepared to turn around and rush back. And then they heard the sound of running Jifayanki behind them. Rapidly searching for any kind of doorway, the party jumped through the secret door Alejandra found, closing it, just as the Jifayanki started to round the corner. Everyone's stomach lurched suddenly, as all gravity suddenly ceased to exist. The party was once again within the treasure room of the floating Jifayanki base, a treasure room Orendel and Alejandra had missed out on. Zipping about the room, Alejandra quickly had filled an empty bag with some of the floating gems. Exiting back into the temple, the party rushed back into the center chamber. As the group opened the temple doors, a number of Jifayanki were running by, heading into the throne room. Four of them stood back and began to move towards the party. Opening fire, the four Jifayanki were cut down and the party began running, heading straight for the hangar. Bursting through the doorway, the guards momentarily looked, as the party rushed past, then let them run by having seen them with the commander earlier. Running into the hangar, the group quickly attracted the attention of one of the mechanics. What do you need now? Asked one of the mechanics. Your fastest ship. A traitor is escaping and we need to catch him. The mechanic simply pointed to one of the ships in dock and quickly the party boarded. Orendel moved up to the pilot's cabin and sat down. And then realized he had no idea how to fly a Jifayanki ship. Sticking his head out of the door, Zoltan said. This stupid elf said he could fly the ship but he can't. Any of you guys know how to fly? The Jifayanki looked among themselves before one shrugged and stepped forward. Sure I can fly. Where you want to go? Giving the Jifayanki pilot directions, the party soon landed in the small clearing they had landed their plane in earlier. Waving the Jifayanki ship off, the party boarded, silencing Thraben with a single look. The flight back took place in silence.